Father, we love you and praise you and magnify you. Lord, this is the best part of our week. And Lord, we're here to exalt you, not the name of a church or the minister. Lord, this is your church. Father, I'm just the FedEx man. And Lord, it's not when the UPS driver or the FedEx driver shows up, especially during the holiday season, you know, and they have packages. It's not them I'm looking forward to. It's what they have that I'm looking forward to. And so, Father, we thank you that we have something this morning. And Lord, I thank you that we're going to deliver a package from heaven that is going to be filled with good things. Because you said in your word, every good and perfect gift is from above. Lord, that's all you know how to give. And so, Lord, we thank you we're going to receive this morning. We thank you we're going to walk out of here blessed this morning. We thank you we're going to walk out of here changed this morning for the better. We thank you we're going to receive something for our lives that is specific to what we're going through and what we're facing. And we're going to hear exactly what needs to be said this morning. And so, Father, we thank you beforehand by faith for our help. And we'll give you the praise and give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, you're all not sleepy, are you? Don't make me come back there and stir you up. I mean, come on, people. Let's just worship him and stir this thing up. Father, we love you. We praise you this morning. Father, we magnify you. Have your way in this place. Have your way in this place. We ought not to be worried about the food. We ought not to be worried about, is everything in order? No, no, no. The Word of God. Hallelujah. We worship you and praise you. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. We talked about this scripture last week when we talked about, remember the service last week, talking about divine healing. It was a message that came up out of my spirit during the Durant services about how we don't have to wait for a minister to come in. We don't have to wait for an anointing or someone to lay hands on us. No, healing belongs to us. Amen? Amen. It belongs to us all the time. And until you realize that it belongs to you, you won't treat sickness like a trespasser. Amen? Trespassers don't just stroll into your house, kick their feet up on the couch, turn the TV on, get in your fridge. You just, oh, that's great that you're here. I'm glad that you know the boundaries. You own the home. That's your space. Get the heck out of my home. Well, when you realize sickness is trespassing on your body, the temple of the Holy Ghost, you won't even allow so much as a runny nose. You don't allow so much as a little bit of a headache, praise God. Those things are not allowed. You know, just like the guy might come in and kick his feet up, that's really barging in. You know, that'd be likened to a big disease, you know, really invading your life. Well, that's not allowed, but neither is the guy standing there with just one foot in my door. Or just his arm inside. That's not allowed. Get out of here. Amen. Well, runny noses, headaches, things like that, they're not allowed, praise God. And so we saw in 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 20, it said, for all the promises of God. And we gave you an English lesson, didn't we? Yes. We told you that S on the end of promise means it's more than one. Yes. I mean, you come here, you get educated, praise God. Yes. For all the promises of God, that means there's more than one in him, are yes and amen, unto the glory of God by us. What are the promises of God? Whatever you need. Yes. We saw this, that Jesus is the complete package. Remember, I went to Delta Sonic and got the complete car package. I mean, I said, I want the best. I want it like you're going to take this vehicle and put it on the showroom like it's brand new. And remember, you know, old Pastor Mike and his analytical thinking, I'm starting to think of all different things. I just want to make sure, you know. And I'm going up to the counter and saying, sir, does it include this? Does it include that? I go sit down for a little bit, come back up. All right, did you include this in there? He said, sir, you got the best. It covers everything. There's nothing you can think of on this vehicle that it doesn't cover. That's what Jesus did. Amen? It's not just healing that's a promise. It's not just salvation. He died for your peace. He died for your comfort. He died for your poverty so you wouldn't have to be poor, praise God. Hallelujah. And I love it that he said all the promises of God in him are yes and amen unto the glory of God. And we saw that God has laid them out. Remember over there in the book of Peter, 2 Peter, he said, he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's already given them. He's laid them out. Amen? Yeah. No doubt, I'm sure some of you, hopefully all of you, if you need some food, you let me know. I'll make sure you have a good Thanksgiving. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. But if I'm sure everyone does, but if you don't, you let us know. But anyways, you're going to be going to Thanksgiving dinners this week, you know, and sitting down. And whoever it is that provides the food, if you're the person that does it, you know, God bless you. We're thankful for you that you do that kind of thing. But you lay out that spread, and there's the mashed potatoes, hopefully, at your table. I mean, I don't know what your problem is if they're not there. The stuffing and the turkey and the corn and the sweet potatoes, all that good stuff is laid out there just waiting for you to sit down and eat it. And you know, whoever provided that is not sitting in the kitchen and you go to take your helping of mashed potatoes and they smack you on the hand with a spoon. Get your hand out of there. You're not allowed to have any of that. Start cutting up the turkey. No, I don't want you to have any of that. That's what Christians must think that God did. God laid everything out. He's the chef. He's laid out a spread. On the table, there's a big bowl of healing. In the other part of the table, there's a big plate of prosperity. Over here, he's got a big old helping of peace and joy. There's some victory down on this end. Pass the victory, praise God. He's not in the kitchen saying, no, you can't have it. I don't want it for you. This verse tells you that his take on the matter is, his answer is yes. Grandma, mom, dad, grandpa, uncle, cousin, whoever makes it, makes the food because their answer is yes, I want you to have it. Amen. Praise the Lord. But, oh, there it is. I'm telling you, we need to get those spiritual Suzanne Summers thigh and butt masters. Because when you get that big old butt in there, things take a turn for the worse, you know? But they're provided for us. But I want to show you something. Go to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers 13, because this came up out of my spirit last week, and I knew this would be part two. Numbers 13. It's always fun when I'm preaching. I know I'm doing good if I look down and there's spit all over my iPad. I'm like, we must be really stirring things up this morning, because where'd all that come from? And so you see me up here doing this, you know, it's kind of gross and nasty, I know, but just don't touch my iPad and you'll be fine. Praise the Lord. Numbers chapter 13 and verse 1, it says, "The Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Send men that they may search the land of Canaan." Now notice this, "which I give," or "which I provide," which is my will, right? "Which I give unto the children of Israel, of every tribe of their fathers." Oh, you see that, Heather, you see that overheads up there flickering on this one too. I'll have to send that one in too, but we better get the other one back first. Hallelujah. It says, "Send a man, every one of you, a ruler among them." But the point is, in verse 2, God's saying to them, "I'm giving you this land. It's yours." Well, what did the promised land represent? The promised land represented their blessing, their abundant life, their heaven on earth. It was where their provision was going to be, their protection, their health. It was the promised land, the land of Canaan, God's land. He had it for his children. He said, "Here, it's yours." Now drop down to verse 26. Got to show you something, because yes, the promises of God are yes and amen. And yes, God has laid out a spread for us to come and partake of. He said, "And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron, and to all the congregation of the children of Israel under the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him, and they said, 'We came unto the land where you sent us, and it was good. It flowed with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it.'" Healing's good, isn't it? Amen. That's a good promise. Well, this promise was good. Prosperity's good. Peace is good. Joy is good. "Nevertheless," verse 28, "the people are strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, the Amalekites dwell in the south, the Hittites and the Jebusites. The Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites by the sea, by the coast of the Jordan." Basically saying, it's already inhabited. There's already people in this land that you say is ours. "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said," now notice this, now remember, God already said it's yours. God already said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, "Whatever you need is yours." Amen. It's yours. It belongs to you. It's at the table. Hallelujah. "Caleb said, stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and, now this next word is very important for you to understand, possess it. For we are well able to overcome it. Now, here's what I want you to see. This land was given to them, but yet we see there's challenges for them to partake of it. In fact, so much that Caleb uses an interesting word and says, we need to go possess it. Now, real quick, flip over to Deuteronomy chapter 1. That's the next book in the Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 1, after the book of Numbers, verse 8. Listen to the language that God uses here. He said, behold, I have set the land before you. What's the land? 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 20, the promises. Because what did the land represent? The land represented the promises, represented the blessings. He said, behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land. Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 8, please. It says, anyways, if you don't have it up on the screen, you just follow along in your Bible and just listen to me. I won't steer you wrong, praise God. He said, behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land. Hallelujah. Possess the land. Now, here's what you have to understand. The land was already theirs. But what does that word possess mean? Well, in the Hebrew, it means to drive out previous tenants. Now, notice what the word further in the Hebrew means to possess. It means to seize. That word seize means to take forcibly. Now, light bulbs have not yet clicked, I can tell, so I'm going to pull the string for you. I'm going to come on and pull it for you. He says, you have to, and Caleb knew this, in what God already provided for you, which is 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 20, all the promises, everything you need pertaining to life and godliness has already been given. The land was already given the same way everything you need has already been given, yet there was a possession or a seizing that needed to take place in order for them to partake of it. Amen. Even though God considered it theirs, see, because God doesn't consider the seizing and the taking control of it to be any hard thing, because He knows what He gave you. Faith to do it. Amen? Amen? But my point is that here it was, they had to go and forcibly take what was theirs. Why would it be any different for us? The devil's still the same devil. The devil's still up to the same tricks. He's still our adversary. All the promises of God are laid out to us. They're available to us. They belong to us. But in order for them to become a reality, they don't just fall into our lap. You have to seize them or forcibly take them to partake of them. Amen. Amen. Now, why am I saying all this? Because I told you at the Durant meetings that service came out about the healing. But then I even took it a step further and talked, and I mentioned a word in last week's service that when I said it, jumped out of my spirit and it formed this whole message today, was that I mentioned about how I went out to lunch with Brother Kevin Durant, who stands in the office of a prophet. And he was asking me, and I was talking about the church and different things, and he started to tell me something that would bless the church, and I stopped him before he even finished. I said, I know what you're going to say. We need a worship team. We need a worship leader. I've known that for years, that they would bless the church. And I was under the assumption that I was believing for that to happen. And we talked about it, and he said, I love your music. I love what you guys do. I love the words. You know, don't change the spirit behind things, but it would be a blessing. I said, I know that, you know, and I've been believing for it. Now, you have to know Brother Kevin Durant. He's one of the loudest, boldest, not give a rip about what's around him and who. He's one of these people. Now, you might find this very annoying. I find it very annoying, and I tell him this. He'll go up to people at restaurants he's ever been to, and he'll go over to their dinner table and be like, what are you eating over there? Do you like it? Does that taste good? And he'll go around to different tables and say, what'd you order? And I'll be like, oh my gosh, stop doing that. You're making me very uncomfortable. But he's just very loud, you know, and he looked at me and I said, I've been believing for a worship leader, and his head tilted sideways. He said, Pastor Mike, and he's getting real loud, you know, you're telling me that you've been actually believing for a worship leader. And I'm thinking to myself, quiet. Not everybody in this restaurant needs to know what a failure I am. And he said, you've been believing. And he said the word, he goes, you're telling me that you've, because now remember, if it would bless the church, if it's a need for the church, then God's answer is yes. Yes. Then God said, all your needs are met. All the promises of God. And he said, you've really been contending for that. And I said, no, I've not been contending for that because I know what it's like to contend. I've been casual about it. And today we're going to find out in our own lives, because we're going to see in the Word people that needed something, people that were believing for something, they had a way about them. They had an attitude about them. They had a spirit about them. And if you want to walk into what you're going to walk into, because the Bible already tells us, we have to seize it. We have to take it forcibly. The promised land didn't fall in their lap, even though it was theirs. Neither is your promise going to fall in your lap. There are certain things that you're going to have to contend for. And today we're going to find out, are you a contender or are you a pretender? Because I found out I was a pretender. I wasn't believing for that worship leader because there's things in the Bible that show us what a faith person looks like. And I certainly did not meet the requirements of what the Bible said of somebody that's contending or trying to seize this thing that would be a blessing to not only the church. You don't realize the blessing. You need to join with me in faith. Do you realize the blessing it would be if I didn't have to do this? Amen. I think I'm the only pastor in all the family churches that has to do their own music. I think I am. You think, well, that's not a big deal. No, no, you know what the blessing would be if I could just show up here? I have to leave an hour early from an hour away to get here. I got to think about the music, and because I don't just pick songs. I pray and seek God about it. It would be such a blessing and a weight off of me if I didn't have to do this, which would in turn bless you. So get on board with me. Hallelujah. But I found out, no, I'm not contending for that. I'm pretending that I'm contending. I'm not contending. I've been casual. Now, there's people in here. Maybe it's your healing. Maybe it's a house. Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's a baby. Maybe it's a wardrobe. Maybe it's a job. Whatever. Let's find out today if you're a contender or a pretender. Because the Bible lays out clearly. You want to get these things? You're going to have to forcibly take it. You're going to have a way about you. You can't be casual about strolling into these things. Hallelujah. Because we find, and we'll see in the Word, that at times we have an enemy. We know this. And he'll stack things against us. Circumstances will be stacked against us. People can be stacked against us. Thoughts can be stacked against us. And if we don't dig our, you know, become bulldogs and grab a like we're grabbing a bone and not letting go and just digging in and going after that, we won't walk into it. Why, you know, I'll be honest. I was telling myself, why don't we have a worship leader? Because I wasn't contending for it. But I'll tell you what, that's changed now. Amen. I wasn't doing it on purpose to be lazy. I just was kind of, you know, but it didn't line up with what the Bible said. So go with me to Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. Oh, yeah, I'm believing for my healing. I'm believing for my car, believing for my job, believing for my spouse, believing for a baby, believing for this and that. Are you really? Are you really believing for it? Are you just using Christianese? Just Christian speak, you know? Oh, I'm in faith. I'm in faith. I tried that with the prophet, and he tilted his head sideways and started yelling at me. He knew in his heart, and I just was honest with him. No, I haven't been contending. But I want to show you a contender here. I want to show you some contenders in the Bible. It said in Mark chapter 5 and verse 25, and a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, suffered many things of many physicians, had spent all that she had, was nothing better but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind, touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch his clothes, I'll be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said, you see the multitude thronging you, and you're saying, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. So if you act like she did, you'll get what you need. Because Jesus doesn't love her more than he loves you. Hallelujah. I had people after last night's service, I did the same, preached along the same lines only, and come up to me and say, Pastor, I got to be honest. For years, I've been believing. Just like me, you know, with the worship leader. Oh, yeah, someone asked me, oh, I'm believing for a worship leader. For years, I've been believing for something, and I found out tonight I've been a pretender. And I know why it's eluded me, and I said, I'm going to change. So let's find out today, amen? Because this woman, we're going to see, had everything stacked against her, and she wasn't casual about it. You want to see what things were stacked against her? Can I go ahead and list them to you? Verse 26. Suffered many things. Verse 25 says she had 12 years. Many things of many physicians, spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. The first thing that jumps out to me is that she's broke. Well, when you're broke, it doesn't leave you in a good mental position, number one. But when you're broke, I'm guessing you're not going to Wegmans over into their organic and cuisine type meals and things. I know when I was broke, I spent a lot of time in the ramen noodle section. In the bread and peanut butter and jelly section. In the boxed mac and cheese section. Now, those things can taste good, but let's be honest, you have a diet of just that. It's not very nourishing. It's not very good for you. So I'm guessing that she's probably not eating the best of foods because she didn't have money to buy the best of foods, which leaves her weak. On top of the fact that she's been bleeding nonstop for 12 years. What does that do to a person? How weak must she be? And not to mention, wouldn't you probably be depressed knowing that they're telling you this is never going to change and you spend all your money trying to figure out a solution and you don't even have a solution for it? She's probably depressed as well. So she's broke, she's weak, malnourished, depressed, nothing worked to that point. Not only that, when she goes in public, she's got to embarrass herself. Law required, because of her blood condition, to go out in public and cry unclean, unclean, unclean. Why? So people would get away from her, because if she, having a blood condition, being unclean, would bump into somebody, that would make that person have to go into a ceremonial ritual of cleansing. That was a big pain in the butt. So she's got to go out in public. I would imagine if you have to go out in public, ladies, and cry unclean and declare to the world that you have a bleeding problem, I'm guessing you're probably not going out in public very much. I wouldn't want to go out in public and tell everybody I'm unclean. I'm sick and don't touch me. Would you? No. So she's shamed. She can't touch people. What's the problem with that? Jesus is surrounded by people. She's weak, and there's a crowd. I remember one of my favorite things at the end of a Bills game when I was younger to do. I always knew where we parked everything. Had our season tickets, same seats, you know, and we'd walk through the crowd. And at the end of the game, I'd say, Dad, can I go? He'd say, go. And I'd pretend I'm Thurman Thomas. And the crowd, I would love to just go through the aisles and find little holes and pretend, you know, and just pressing through the crowd. You get bumped around and knocked around a little bit. But it was so fun when you're 8, 9, and 10 years old, you know. Get to the car and do my dance and celebration. Spike my ball, you know. Just, I made it. I made it, praise God. So she got to go through a crowd or she's getting bumped. People probably know her. That's her town. She's the unclean woman. She's got everything against her. And the ruler of the synagogue, Jairus by name, who has the authority to get her in big trouble for going out in public, not crying unclean, and touching people. He's there because, remember, Jesus just ran into him, and Jairus says, my daughter's at home about to die. Will you go heal her? So Jesus is on his way, and on his way to Jairus' house, the ruler of the synagogue, they bump into the woman with the issue of blood. So she knows, too, now. She can see off the distance. Oh, she would know who the rulers were. You avoid those people if you're in her condition, most likely. He's with Jairus, right, with Jesus, because Jesus doesn't know how to get to his house, so he's got Jairus right with him, telling him the directions. Right. So she's got to go through a crowd, being weak, being broke, being sick, being ashamed, and get to Jesus. And here's the crazy thing too. Jesus, isn't it amazing? He didn't stop to find her. He didn't go looking for her. And in fact, he didn't even acknowledge when, he didn't know until she reached him that she was even there. What's my point? Here she's struggling to get to him, and he didn't stop and say, oh, make way for the poor lady. No. Nobody's going to lay down a carpet for you to walk on and stroll into your blessings. You are going to have to seize and take control. And there's going to be times, the situation and circumstances, there's going to be walls. There's going to be things that are trying to keep you out. But here's the thing in verse 27. All those things against her. Because let's face it, don't we at times do this? We make up every excuse in the world why we're going through something. And I'm not trying to belittle what people are going through. But we say, well, it's my boss's fault. It's my spouse's fault. It's my family's fault. It's my job's fault. It's this fault. No. Faith is the answer for everything that you're failing in. So stop blaming when you have the answer for everything that you need. All things are possible to him that believes. He said, if you'll act in faith, every single thing that's lacking in your life will get fixed and turned. Yeah. It's a slap in the face of what God's provided when we blame every other thing. Now, there's no doubt circumstances and situation cause and put us in bad positions. But we don't sit there and dwell on it and pet those things like and stroke those things like a little baby. And, oh, this is the reason, this is the reason. No, that might be part of the cause of why you're there, but that's not the reason why you have to stay in that position. He gave you faith to get you out of that position. So verse 27 says, all these things against her. When she heard of Jesus, here he is, he represents her help. But the help's not just falling in her lap. She has to what? Seize it. Forcibly take control of this. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind. Go to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14. Paul said this, he said, I casually stroll into. Oh, I wondered when you were going to pick that up. I thought maybe your Bible did say that, because mine doesn't. He said, I press. Well, you know what that sounds like to me when I hear press? Exertion. Effort. Straining. I press towards what? The mark. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The verse before says, reaching unto things. That sounds like straining, exertion, press. What is out in front of you is not going to be walked into without a press, without some force, without some exertion. And you need to know that. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 9, and I'll tell you in a second why you need to know that. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 9 goes along with what we've been saying the last two verses. Paul said there's a great door and effectual, that means a great door of opportunity, opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. So Paul's saying there's a door that's opened, and I know if I go through that door, oh, the opportunities for the ministry, for my personal life, for my family are great. But at the door, there's adversaries doing what? Pressing on you to keep you out. You know, I think about this all the time, you know. You know what planting in a local church represents? It represents flourishing in your life. I'm not saying this to brag on family church, because I certainly don't think it's the only church in the world that's doing anything. And I'm certainly not here to brag on me, because I know other ministers are doing as much and more than I am. I know it, and they're good ministers. But I will say this. Finding a word church that follows the Spirit and preaches the word, you don't know how rare of a thing Maybe you do know, but I'm saying most people don't know how rare that is. But that represents the church flourishing, represents your family flourishing, your finances flourishing, your children flourishing, your body flourishing, your mind flourishing. And a lot of times, people like myself that come into a church come in with a whole lot of baggage. Poverty, sickness, wrong thinking, depression, you know, all sorts of different issues I came in with, and a lot of people come in. And when they come in, they don't realize at the time, they just struck gold. Amen. Every single thing they're struggling with can be fixed in this place. Hallelujah. Remember, Brother Kevin said, your pastor's administering a heavenly IV drip to you every Sunday, every Wednesday. An IV drip of healing, an IV drip of victory, an IV drip of prosperity, an IV drip of comfort and peace and joy. This place represents a lottery ticket to all your problems being fixed. And so that person that comes in off the street, this is a door of opportunity, but the devil recognizes it. And the Bible says the thief comes to through persecutions, tests, and tribulations to steal the word from people. Yes. Through thoughts, through circumstances, through tests, through using other people. And the devil will kick up a dust storm because he doesn't want people to continue to walk through that door of opportunity because their whole life is going to change. Amen. And so how many people have forfeited what is on or through that door because things got so hot, things got so tested in their life that they backed away and the devil's sitting there just doing this, saying, oh, got him. I got him. So I'm going to show you something in a second. It's going to really bless you. But I think about my cousin. I've told you this. I haven't had very, very many visions, but the few I've had have been very impactful and have helped people and helped myself. I had a vision when I was working for Jim and Sue years ago in 2009. I was mowing the lawn, and it was right out in front of the office, right by Route 39 there. All of a sudden, I'm mowing along. All of a sudden, I have a vision, and I see my cousin climbing a mountain, and the mountain's real foggy at the peak of the mountain. I can see the peak. I can see below the clouds, and I can see her climbing it. And she couldn't see the peak, didn't know where the peak was because it was so foggy and misty. She didn't know how far she had to go. And you could see in the vision that she's straining. Every time she's straining. And she's about one lunge away from getting to the top. And the top, I knew by a word of knowledge, represented her blessing. That, oh, this is a test she's going through. But man, if she'll get to the end of that thing, oh, how good it's going to be for her. But I also knew by a word of knowledge, she's ready to quit and walk away. I'm talking not just quit. I'm talking quit and walk away from the church. Walk away from God. Because she's gotten so convinced, this stuff doesn't work. This faith business doesn't work. Why? I've gone through this over and over and over again. This thing's not changing. So she's getting ready to walk away from God. Well, we know by the word, that's the worst thing you can do is walk away. No matter how high he turns up the heat. And so I had a vision and I knew that I was supposed to call and encourage her. Tell her, you're close, you're close, you're close, you're almost there. And so I called her and I said, Bear. I call her Bear, named Sarah. I said, Bear. I said, I don't know what you're going through. She wasn't living with us at the time. Didn't have as much communication as I did with her before. I had no idea what she was going through. I said, Bear. I said, I just saw it. I said, I saw you climbing a mountain. I said, and that mountain represents, I said, you're going through a test right now that you've never faced before. And all of a sudden I hear on the other line going, I'm reading her mail. Yeah. And she's starting to get sniffly because she knows God loves her. Amen. Amen. God loved her enough to show old cousin Pastor Mikey a vision of what she's going through. And I said, you're going through something. And so she's sniffling. I'm like, I know I'm hitting the mark here because I saw it and she's confirming it. And I said, you're about to quit. I said, you're about to walk away. It's getting so hard. You're about to quit. I said, that's the worst thing you could do. I said, don't. I said, number one, I saw the top of the mountain and it's wonderful. And when you get to the other side of this test, it's going to be so glorious. You're going to be so glad you didn't quit. And I said, and you're almost at the end of it. I saw it. You're right there. And it encouraged her, and she said, I won't quit. I won't quit. I promise you, Pastor Mike. I said, you better not. When she lived with us, I tortured that girl. I'd pinch her, and do when she'd fall asleep, I'd put a bunch of peanut butter on her hand and scare her, and she'd tickle her nose, and she'd put it all over her face. I said, you watch. I'll come for you if you quit. I'll come for you. She knows that's not good. You don't want me after you. I would tell the youth group kids this, and I meant it. I'd say, go ahead and prank me. You go ahead. It'll be the last time that you ever prank me. I will make sure that you never forget. Yeah, you got to put the fear in them because they had some good ideas. I don't want that happen to me. I had to let them know I meant business. I was for real. You go ahead and do it, but it ain't going to work out well for you. And I said, don't quit. And she didn't quit. She stayed faithful. And she met her husband in the church and married him. Now they have two beautiful children and a third on the way. He owns a business that is flourishing. He can't even keep up. He's so busy making so much money. They get to go. She's someone that came from a poverty background. Never got to go on vacation. She goes on vacations every year now. Amen. Just paid, no worries, able to help her family and blessing. All that could have been forfeited. See, what you have to understand, people, is what you're going through and what you're facing or what you're believing God for is not going to come to pass without a struggle, without contention. And if you don't realize that, what happens is that people end up turning the gun on themselves and looking at their own lives and constantly, at least I know that's what I do, I always think, I must be screwing this thing up. It's not working or it's not yet come to pass because I'm a failure. I'm an idiot. That's just my thoughts, right? You ever had those thoughts? And you think you're doing everything wrong. Well, in fact, it might not have come to pass, and it might be the hottest fire you're ever going through because you're actually doing everything right. Amen. Now, go to Matthew 7 and verse 24, but I want to use this as a statement. I truly believe this with all my heart. We have the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is God. I'm a dad. When my kids are doing things that could hurt them and cause them to be messed up or hurt their life or to not advance them the way they need to go, if I know about it, I'm not quiet about it. I'm telling them, stop that. Change that. You're going to get hurt if you keep doing that. God, being our Father with the Holy Ghost, if we're messing up and missing it and causing ourselves to be in the trial and causing our delay, don't you think he's going to let you know? Yeah. It's kind of like this. I heard a minister say this. I'll never forget it. If you wake up in the middle of the night and decide, you know, you go out to the kitchen, you know, to grab something to eat or something to drink, and you trip over the dog and you get mad and you kick the dog in the head. Now, you shouldn't do that. Ever. Never kick your dog in the head. But this is the example I use. And you kick your dog in the head and you wake up the next morning and the dog looks like this. Oh, you know, the dog's been kicked in the head. You know, he's not doing so good. How many of you know, you walk by that thing, and your spouse or your family member says, what happened to Fido? I don't know. No idea. No. The point is this. If you kick the dog in the middle of the night, you know you kicked the dog in the middle of the night. Yeah. If you're missing God, you already know you're missing God. Don't act like your misses are some complete mystery. But at the same time, if there's no miss that's there, don't go searching for a miss. Wow. Trying to dig a miss up. Praise God. Because I want to show you something. Matthew 7, verse 24. Matthew 7 and verse 24. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine, well, that's good, they're in a position to hear, and does them. Wow, they're in the 25%. You know, you look at the parable of the sower, all the different types of ground heard the word, but only one out of the four did anything with it. Well, this is a good ground person. But notice this, they heard the word, they did the word. Jesus said, I'll liken that person to a wise man. You're wise if you hear and do the word, amen? A wise man which built his house on the rock, but notice verse 25. Now, he said, the one that hears the word and does the word. And their life shall be like a bed of roses. Like frolicking through the fields of daisies all day long. Things will be easy and light. No test or trial shall come their way because they hear and do the word. No. The doer, the hearer and the doer, the Bible says the rain will descend. The floods will come. The winds will be present, and there will be beating upon that house of what? The one that's doing everything right. Amen. Verse 26. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and doesn't do them, shame, shame, shame. Verse 26, person. Does them not, shall be likened unto a fool. So if you hear the word and don't do it, you're a fool. And you know what a synonym of a fool is? Stupid. Yeah. Right. So you can't say you're somebody stupid. Jesus just did. Yeah, he did. It's the truth. Don't be mad at me. I didn't say it. Jesus did. Shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Now notice this. The one that hears the word and doesn't do it, the rains descend, the floods come, the winds blow, and they still get beat upon. But the difference is they fall. The difference with the doer is they stand. And they're stronger after they stand. Now go back to verse 25. I'll never forget when I heard Pastor Nancy teach on this, and it just was such a blessing. It set me free. She said she was going through a test and a trial one time. And see, when we go through these things, or when our healing is evading us, or our prosperity, or whatever we're believing for, seems to be out of reach, and time keeps going by, we start to doubt. And we start to doubt ourselves. And we start to think it's getting harder and harder and farther away, it seems. What are we doing wrong? And the Lord showed her this because she was going through a test and trial. And this is what she told the Lord. She said, Father, I know we're not supposed to go by our feelings. I know that. She said, but I want to just point out how I'm feeling to let you know, not out of complaining, but this is where I feel. What am I doing wrong to feel this way? She said, I literally feel like I'm physically being beaten. She said, that's the way I feel. She said, what am I doing wrong in this time of my life that's causing this? And the Lord spoke up to her, and I'll just kind of paraphrase, why do you think you're doing anything wrong? And he took her over to this verse. He said, what are the stages, Nancy? She said, well, the doer and the hearer, the wind, the rains descend, the floods come and the winds blow. And he said, what's the last thing? She said, beat upon the house. He said, you feel like you're getting beat on? He said, you're in the last phase of the test. The beating phase. He says, you're not doing everything wrong. You're about to go into and be victorious and get out of this thing. The rains are coming, the winds are coming, and it's beating upon you because you're doing everything right and you got a target on you. Yeah. Amen. Now again, if you know you're missing God, repent and stop missing God. But if there's, you know you're doing, because she said, Lord, as far as I know, I'm doing everything I know to do. Nothing in my heart standing out that I need to change, but I must be missing it. And he said, no, you're not missing it. He said, this is the last stage. But the point is that doing the word of God, just getting pummeled for doing everything right. Well, to get out of that, you got to keep standing. To get out of that, you got to keep pressing. To get out of that, you can't lay down. That's not the time to lay down. The woman with the issue of blood, that was a good time for her to lay down and say, this doesn't work. It's just been too long. I'm too weak and too sick. And there's too big of a crowd around Jesus. Yada, yada. Excuse, excuse, excuse. I got to be unclean. The ruler of synagogue's there. I'm broke. I'm sick. I'm weak. There's too many people around Jesus. He's not even stopping for me. Well, people that are faith people that are contenders, they get mad. And they get fired up. And they will not be denied. See, in faith, there's no such thing as quitting. There's no such thing as giving up. There's no such thing as giving up. There's no such thing as giving up. There's no such thing as laying. There's no such thing as giving up. There's no such thing as giving up. There's no such thing as stopped him in his tracks. Praise God. Well, what about the Syrophoenician woman who had a daughter grievously vexed of a devil? Over there in Matthew 15, she came to Jesus. And Jesus flat out ignored her. I mean, it's like the time Pastor Tim and I went to Canada to watch a concert on Thanksgiving Day. I'm starting to get nightmares from it because we're getting close to the day before our saved years. And we're standing out front of Massey Hall in Toronto, Ontario. And there's a group of girls standing over there. And I'll tell you, it would have been nicer to go to a concert with them than with him. And we both thought the same thing. And so he said, I'm going to go talk to him. And I promise you, this is exactly what happened. He walked over to those girls. They're standing in a group. And he like kind of gets himself in the middle. And he's like, hey, ladies, what's going on? And I kid you not, they never even so much as looked his direction, acknowledged that he was there, and he's like, okay. They turn around and walk back. And I'm over there just slapping my knee. I'm laughing so hard. I'm like, it was like you were a ghost that you see in the movies that's trying to communicate with this realm, but they have no idea you're there. That's exactly what it was like. Amen. That's what Jesus did to this woman. Like, she wasn't even there. Would it have been a different story if I went up? We'll never know, but at least I have that over him. Amen? So I didn't even try, because why ruin a good thing? Amen? Hallelujah. And so Jesus just ignores her. Well, you'd think if the one she needs help from is ignoring you, well, that would be enough. But then she says, I'm not a pretender. I'm a contender. And I know a principle that things are eluding me, and I'm going to have to work for this. Not works in the sense of, you understand what I mean, but I'm going to have to do something. So she goes over to the disciples. And they said, you're crazy. Why are you? Don't trouble us. And so they went to Jesus and told on her. Said, this woman's troubling us. And she hears Jesus say out loud, what do you got to do with me? The healing bread belongs to the children. He says, I'm not even here for her. My purpose isn't even for her. That's three strikes against her. He ignores her, the disciples ignore her, and now Jesus said, healing's not even for you. And then Jesus takes it a step further and says, the healing bread's for the children, not the dogs. Now you tell me, ladies, how many of you want to be called a dog? That's what Jesus said to her. Called her a dog. Now we know our Jesus was not mean. He was trying to get her somewhere. He knew if my power's going to work in her life, because it doesn't belong to her. It belongs to the Jews. She's got to get it by faith. If my power's going to work for her, I got to raise her level of faith, because I only work on the operation of faith. My power only flows out of me when somebody comes with faith. So apparently she wasn't where she was needed to be at. So Jesus, out of mercy, said, you're a dog, because he knew that's going to fire her up. And so she could have said, my God, I've been ignored by him. The disciples have been told this isn't even for me. He's calling me a dog now. She is a contender, not a pretender. And so what does she do? She said, Lord, that's true. The bread is for the children, but even the dogs come by and get the crumbs. Amen. Oh! She said, I just need a crumb. I don't need the whole meal. Just give me a crumb that falls on the floor. Because I know in the households, children sit at the table, but dogs come up and get the scraps. Yeah. Dogs come up and get the crumbs. She said, I don't care if I'm a dog. I just want a crumb from you. And he said, my goodness, your daughter's fixed. Yeah. Oh, man! Just understand what I mean here spiritually. That turns me on. Amen? That fires my little spirit right up. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I want to close with this. We're going to close right here. What then does it look like? What do we do going out of here? Because those things that you say, because Pastor Mike said, oh, I'm believing for a worship leader. Found out I'm not, but I am now. I can confidently say I am now. And there's some other things that I've let slip that I've been believing for. You know, Christianese. Just speaking things that sound good. Well, maybe you realize today, man, I'm not much of a contender. I've laid that thing down. I've started talking about the problem. I've just assumed it's never going to happen. I don't talk about it ever. I just want to avoid it because I don't want to think about it. You're pretending. You're not contending. Get back in the ring. You know, like the boxer that's been put in the corner and he's just getting pummeled in the corner. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he just has a flurry of punches. Just comes out of that thing, and the crowd starts going nuts, and he's just swinging and making. That's what you need to do. You need to bust out of that corner. So I want to tell you, now Mark 11:23, just a couple of verses, we'll close. Mark 11:23. He said, for verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto the mountain, what, not pray about the mountain, not talk about the mountain? Not meditate about the mountain? Nope. The only thing you're supposed to do about your mountain is speak to it. Not about it. Be thou removed. So you're supposed to tell that thing to go. Be cast into the sea and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have what he says. And I told you, he pointed out, I'm not contending, but I've told you, I know what it's like to contend. When I was $2,000 short starting this church over in that storefront, I know what it was like to contend. How does the mountain move? Only way the mountain moves is by saying. That should take a load off you because it doesn't move by worrying. Doesn't move by fretting. Doesn't move by losing sleep. Losing sleep is a waste of time. Sitting there and thinking about it all the time and meditating and imagining bad things. That doesn't move the mountain. That's a waste of time. So it ought to be freeing to you to know that the only way your mountain's going to move is when you say something. And so I had that mountain in my face, and I'll tell you what, circumstances were against me. New baby, house payment, a church in a community of 600 people, and I'm only going to get paid when the church can pay for itself. I knew that was down the road. And so all these things are stacked against me. But the only way I'm going to get that mountain to go is if I contend for something. God's not going to move the mountain. Right. Mountain doesn't say anything about him moving it. Right. Amen. Amen. So how do you contend? With your mouth. With your mouth. Why do you think the devil wants to shut people up? Because it's through the saying. Because what happens when you go through something? What do people tend to do when they're going through something or tested? They get introverted and they get quiet. They get quiet when they go through stuff. Haven't you ever gone through something and you just shut down? That's not the time to shut down. That's the time to come bursting out of the corner. Jesus, Son of David. Truth, Lord, but the dogs get the crumbs. What about the woman with the issue of blood? Go back to Mark 11:28. Or Mark chapter 5 and verse 28, please, in the Amplified. Mark 5 and verse 28. What was she doing? Mark 5 and verse 28. For she said, if I may touch his clothes, I'll be whole. I want to wait till that gets up there. Can you pull that in the Amplified? For she kept saying, if I only touch his garments, I'll be restored to health. If I only touch his garments, if I only touch his garments. So she's going. So what does a contender do? A contender cries out, Jesus. A contender says something, says the right things. Well, what's she saying? She's going through that. No doubt the thoughts are, I'm so weak, I can't do this. Oh my gosh, look at all the people. And oh, there's Jairus. Oh, Jesus is just walking on. Nope, she's not worried about the circumstances. She's not worried about the situation because contenders don't care about the circumstances. Contenders don't care about the situations. They fight like a dog with a bone. Try to take a bone out of a certain dog's mouth, it ain't a good thing. They fight until it comes to pass. Why? Because they know, like Caleb knew, we're going to have to seize this thing that's ours. That healing that's out in front of you, you might have to start contending for it. You say you're believing for it, but really? Do you have the characteristics of these people? Do you keep saying? Are you pressing through no matter what storms are coming? You're getting beat on. Are you still in the fight? Because she's in the fight walking. If I just touch him, if I just touch him, if I just touch him, the thoughts, you're not going to get anything. You're weak. You can't be here. You're not supposed to be here. You should be crying unclean. Oh, you just bumped into that person. Now that person's got to clean up. Oh, you just bumped into that person. Oh, you just bumped into that person. Nope. If I just touch his clothes, if I just touch his clothes, if I just touch his clothes, if I just touch his clothes. I know what it's like to contend. I woke up every day. Father, I thank you. Every single bill is paid on time, all the time, every single time. I thank you for supernatural provision. I thank you for a salary. I thank you for supernatural debt payoff. And I'd say it on purpose every day. Why? Because the mountain only moves when I say it. That's contending. And then when I'd get a bad report about my finances or something break down or we need something extra or a thought would come to me. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Father, I thank you. Every single bill is paid on time, all the time, every single time. Father, I thank you for supernatural debt payoff. I thank you for supernatural provision. I thank you for a salary. I thank you for insurance. I thank you for everything for my family. Amen. And then every time I would feed Caleb, Father, I thank you. Every bill is paid on time, all the time, every single time. I thank you for supernatural debt payoff, supernatural provision. I thank you for a salary. I thank you for insurance. I thank you for everything my family would need. And I would say it, and I would say it, and I would say it, and I would say it. Why? Because contenders keep saying and saying and saying. They're not allowed to be shut up. Amen. 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 And we'll close with this. Numbers 14. Glory to God. There'd be 2-3 months that go by before I'd even say anything about the worship leader, worship team. And then it would come up and I'd be on my walk and say, Father, I thank you for a worship leader. Oh yeah, you really want that. That's the equivalent of Abby once every month saying, oh, I want that toy, and I never hear about it again. She don't want that toy. Mark 11:24 says, whatsoever things you desire. Right. Yeah. Let's face it, some of these things we've been so doggone casual about. We think we're believing, but no. We see what belief does. Belief presses. Belief doesn't take no for an answer. Belief stays in the fight until the thing shows up. Belief doesn't do it for a couple weeks and then the money got worse and the healing got worse and then all of a sudden you stop saying, you start talking about the problem. Nope, you're a pretender. A contender every day is pressing. More days than not went with me being $2,000 short, and then it would just, things would come in, but more days than not, it was stacked against me. Oh, I didn't sit there and wallow around in that doubt and unbelief. I just kept saying and saying and saying and saying and saying, glory to God. Amen. Numbers 14:28, the Lord said to the children of Israel, say unto them, as truly as I live, says the Lord, as you have spoken in my ears, that's what I'll do. What were they speaking? We can't do it. The land's not ours. We're not going to have it. And guess what happened? They didn't. 40 years they missed out. Not because God wanted them to miss out. Because they were pretenders and not contenders. So, let's be honest with ourselves. What we're believing for, have we been pretending or contending? And if you are contending, I've been in it. Keep contending. So how long do I have to contend for? Until the final bell goes off and you're winning. And it shows up in the natural. That's what faith is. Faith doesn't quit. You know when you know you're in true faith? When you don't worry about when it's going to happen. Because the timeline doesn't matter to the faith person. They're just in it. And I'm not concerned if I have to do it for a year. I'm just going to do it because it's the right thing to do. And I'm going to contend for those things. So I believe by the Holy Ghost and Him putting us, I believe this helps some people today. To realize, hey, that thing I really would like, that spouse that I'm really believing for, and that baby, that job, that car, that thing I need. Oh, I've found out today I'm nothing like the woman with the issue of blood. I'm nothing like the Syrophoenician woman. I'm nothing like blind Bartimaeus. I'm actually like my pastor with the worship team thing. Just laying it off to the side and just thinking. See, my thought process was, this is the thoughts that come to my head. Well, church needs it. It'll just happen. Gets a garbage thinking. It's wrong thinking. The devil's going to stand in the doorway and try to hinder. He knows. The devil knows how much of a blessing it would be to get me off that stage. It'd just be such a blessing. Man. One time I had my cousin come over. This is, I'm trying to stir you up to get believing with me. Had my cousin come over, and he did worship for me in the old sanctuary, in the old storefront there. And I remember showing up that night. I didn't have to do music. I can't tell you. It was like the weight of the world was off me. And here I thought, well, God will just do it because it'll help me and I'm His favorite. And the church needs it. It would be better. Someone with more talent and gifted that would be able to take us to a new level in our music. It'll just happen. No, it won't. The devil will stand right there and try to keep you out. But I'm telling you now, I'm saying it and I'm contending for it. And my days up there are numbered. And the things that are eluding you in your life are numbered. Those days are numbered after today. We are going from pretenders to contender status, from casual to contending after today. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. We bless you and love you and worship you. Oh, we love you so much. Thank you, Father, for pointing things out and showing us where we've missed it, showing us where we've laid things down, showing us where we've been casual. Father, we're grateful that you love us that much. To put these, Father, I'd never be able to come up with messages like this. You drop these things in my heart and they're so helpful. So, Father, we always give you the praise. All I did was pick it up from headquarters and take it here and deliver it. That's all I did, Father. I didn't come up with this stuff on my own. We thank you, Father. We thank you for pointing out to us that we have to take these things, that these promises, yes, they belong to us, but it takes our faith. And faith looks and sounds like something. So we will be like these faith giants in the Bible. We won't care what the circumstances say. We won't care how long it takes. We're just going to contend every single day because that pleases you anyways. Faith always pleases you. So, Father, it's a joy to please you. We worship you this morning. We honor you. Heads bowed and eyes closed. As I look around the room, I already know everybody in here has received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, but there may be people listening right now or in the future that have not. And so let's give them an opportunity to receive the Lord. If you're listening over the internet now or on the archives in the future and you've never received Jesus, Jesus represents heaven. Jesus represents eternal life. Jesus represents the opportunity to become a child of God. And you've never invited Him into your life. I want to give you the opportunity, the invitation. You don't have to become a member of this church. It doesn't cost any money. The Bible says if you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. That's it. There's only two qualifications for you. You have to, number one, believe in Jesus. The Bible says that he that believes in Jesus will not perish but have everlasting life. And the second thing is you have to call on the Lord. You have to invite him in. He's knocking, but he wants you to open the door. So if you're listening to my voice, you say, I do believe in Jesus, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure I would go to heaven. I've never informally asked him. Well, let's ask him in your heart. All you have to simply do is say, Lord, I believe in you. I believe you died and I believe you rose again. Come into my life. And then just thank him for saving you. And then shoot us an email, give us a phone call. We'll get you hooked up in a Bible teaching church. Going to church doesn't get you into heaven, but it does help you be blessed in this life to learn all that he has for you. Let's thank God one last time. That we're going to walk into what belongs to us. The promised land belonged to them, but they had to go knock some walls down first. Yeah. Hallelujah. You can't keep us out, devil. You can't keep us out. We thank you for our victory. We thank you for the manifestation. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we go, actually, let's pray for the food real quick and bless the food. Father, we're so grateful that we can all be together and enjoy food. And Father, I ask you to bless every single person that took time and money and effort and energy to make food for all of us to enjoy today. Lord, bless them. Bless the hands that prepared this meal today. And Father, we thank you. We call this food blessed. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it. Amen. We'll see you not Wednesday, but Sunday at 10 o'clock. You're dismissed.